may be seated. Before we get with the message this morning, I want to tell you here at Harvest Christian Fellowship, it's so important to us that everyone who's listening or is present with us has the opportunity to give their life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In the seat back in front of you, there's a card, or you can see next to me on the screen, you can text that number and you can get more information about how to give your life to Jesus, because nothing else really matters in this life until you have given your life to Jesus, fully surrendered, and all the things that we talk about and all the things that we do here are contingent upon that one most powerful miracle, when a sinner is saved and someone who is lost in darkness finds the light of Jesus Christ. So we want you to have that opportunity to come to Jesus today. So please take the moment to pick up the card or text that number on the screen and get more information. We'd love to talk to you this week about how to give your life to Jesus, or right here at the end of the service, we'd be happy to pray with you. Now, today we're continuing a series in the book of Haggai, and we're so excited about what God is saying to his people. So before we get into that message, I want to make our declaration together. So get ready. We've been doing this for this whole 3 months, and here we are together. I am covered by and submitted to the blood of Jesus. Let's say it one more time with all you've got. I am covered by and submitted to the blood of Jesus. We are protected today in the kingdom of God. We have everything we need for life and godliness. I want you to understand, if you struggle today with fear like Julie was talking about, I want you to understand there's a big difference in being cautious, because caution is based on logic and truth. Fear is based on irrational thoughts and the spirit of the darkness that wants to take you down. So to be cautious today means that we'll pay attention to our health as we always should. We should wash our hands. If we're sick, we should stay home. If we're in an at-risk group, which is less than 1% of the population, those people need to isolate and stay at home. But the rest of us can come together with faith and assurance that God is with us and we don't have to operate in fear. Amen? There's two passages of scriptures that I want to give to you today. It's not going to be on the screen, but I've struggled with fear in my life, and sometimes even recently, but I look at the book of Romans chapter 8, where it says, the spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the spirit, from the law of sin and death. Let me say it correctly. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And then, so if you're struggling today, be honest. Pick up your Bible, go to Romans 8, meditate all the way through it, down that right midway through that chapter. It says, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead breathes life into our mortal bodies. Amen? And then also Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 is so important because it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Literally today, we don't wrestle against the coronavirus. We wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness that want to take you out of the kingdom mission on this earth. And so in that Ephesians 6, what it says is to put on the full armor of God: truth, peace, righteousness, salvation, shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There's 6 pieces to the armor that every believer should put on every day. I'm telling you, if you're struggling with fear and consumed, because listen, if you're paying attention to the news more than you're paying attention to the heavenly report, you are gonna be afraid. Now, I appreciate the news for about 5 minutes a day. If you're spending more time listening to the media than looking into the Word of God, then your priorities are out of order. I say that with kindness and gentleness and peace to you. I don't want you to be in fear. God doesn't want you to be in fear. God wants us to step forth into our destiny in the kingdom of God. There is always going to be something that's trying to push you down. And right, listen, if you, you just know that. So in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, it says, be careful what you listen to, because by your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you in return. What does that mean? Whatever you're listening to, you're going to get more of. If you're listening to fear, lies, and deceit all day long, you're going to get more fear, lies, and deceit. And it's going to push you down into the dirt, and it's going to overwhelm you and stop you from being the light of the world that Jesus called you to be. So be careful who you listen to, church. Be careful what you pay attention to, because the Word of God is living and active, according to the book of Hebrews, sharper than any double-edged sword, able to divide between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. What does that mean? If you're in the Word of God, you'll be able to discern what's truth and what's fiction. And we all know, even before the coronavirus came forth, we know there's a lot of lies in culture. There's a lot of fear in culture. If you didn't know that, let me clue you in on something. Lots of people in culture want to use fear to gain power. Okay? And how do they propagate fear? By propagating lies. As long as they can get you to believe a lie, then they can keep you in fear, then they're the ones in control. Don't let people do that to you. Be smarter than that. Listen to me. I want you to understand something. All you have to do is tap into the Word of God that's in you, use the logical brain that God gave you, and you'll make great choices, and you will be safe. Now, we're in a series in the book of Haggai, and I'm so excited about it because it's a call to repentance. And say, why are you excited about repentance? Because every time I have chosen to repent, I have found more power, more life, more love, more of the goodness of God in my life. What does repent mean? It simply means to change. And you go, well, I don't like change. Well, get used to it. Everything's changing all the time. The world constantly changes. Yesterday is not here. Tomorrow's not here either. We're in right now. Today is different than any other day that's ever been in your life or in the history of mankind, because it's today. Now, God has called us to live in today. But if you're busy focusing on the past, then you're not going to live in today. If you're worried about the future, you're not going to live in today. So guess what? Today, I'm healthy, wealthy, and wise. Amen? Amen. And I'm going to live it like I've never lived it before. I've got scripture to back up my three things, but I won't go into that. If you want to talk about why I believe I'm healthy, wealthy, and wise, just take me to lunch. I'll let you know. In the book of Haggai, we find these themes, and this is how it applies to us today. Do you find yourself disinterested, discouraged, dissatisfied? Do you find yourself disillusioned? Do you find yourself in a place where you go, my faith is not alive like it used to be? I'm telling you guys, many, many, many Christians all across the face of the earth find themselves in this position where they say, my life is all about me now. Oh, nobody says that with their words. They say it with their actions. My life's all about me. My life is all about what I can gain, what I can get, how much influence I can gather, how much money I can accumulate, how many possessions I can acquire, whether I'm happy, whether I'm sad, whether I feel good, whether I feel bad. My life is all about me. When you get self-centered, you find yourself disillusioned with your faith. Because faith is not based on self-centeredness. Faith is based on Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And if you're fixing your eyes on Jesus, as Hebrews 2 says, then you will not be disillusioned. You will not be discouraged. Oh, it'll try to come to you. Fear will try to overtake you. Loneliness or any of those other things that are enemies of your soul will come and try to take over you. But if you've got your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, then you will not be disillusioned, disinterested, discouraged, or dissatisfied with your faith. You'll be alive in Christ today. You'll be a light to the world, and you'll be on fire for God. See, this book is an Old Testament book, and I've told you this several times throughout the last several years, but every word in the Bible needs to be interpreted through the the lenses of the finished and complete work of the cross. So when I look at the Bible, I always look at it through what Jesus accomplished on the cross. I cannot go into all those details, take my word for it, and go back to our app or onto our YouTube channel and listen to the last several weeks. We've done this for 2 weeks now, I believe, and we're on the third week now. So in those places, I've described more clearly, especially in week number one of Haggai, how we need to interpret the Bible through the complete and finished work of the cross. So one thing I'll tell you for sure, the book of Haggai says rebuild the temple. What does he mean? He meant a building at that time, but now he means your heart. Because according to Corinthians, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit where Christ lives. So when he says it's time to rebuild the temple, that means it's time to focus on building your heart so that what? Why is there a temple? Why was there a temple in the book of Haggai? Because the presence of God needed to visit the earth. As long as the walls were broken down around Jerusalem, they couldn't have a temple because enemies were always coming in. So God sent Nehemiah to build the wall, and Ezra was there ministering with him. Nehemiah ran the project. Ezra was the priest and the prophet to the people at that time. And then here comes Zerubbabel and Joshua. Zerubbabel was a governor, Joshua was a high priest, and Haggai was one of the prophets speaking God's word. And so God said, now we've got a wall around the city. Now we need to build the temple. Why? The goal was always to build the temple so the presence of Almighty God could fill the temple and flood the earth so the people of the earth could be set free. The same principle is at play now. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Together, Peter says, we're being built into a spiritual house where Christ dwells. Why does the temple need to be established rightly in the earth today through people? So the glory of the Lord can fill the temple and the goodness of God can go out into the earth so the people can be set free. And I've just got to say to you, if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. If you can't get excited about being a light to the world and on fire for God, then I have no remedy for you except to fall on your face and say, God, I am so disillusioned. I'm so disinterested. I've become so discouraged and beaten down that I can't even get excited when the preacher's preaching good. And God forgives you, and so do I, church. It is clear in the book of Haggai that the people there, people then, and to us now, need to set our focus back on the assignment that God has given us. This book demonstrates the necessity of teamwork to carry out the purposes of God on the earth. You see how I said Ezra and Nehemiah, then Zerubbabel and Joshua and Haggai. It's never about one person or one individual. It's about us, being the church. The Holy Spirit wants to illumine to you your relevance to the mission of Jesus today. But if you are focused on the things of the world, if you're overcome by fear, if you're beaten down by discouragement, you will be unable to receive everything God wants to give you. So why am I talking about this? God wants to deliver you from the darkness of this age. He wants you to go to Ephesians 6 and learn the armor of God so you can put it on and fight against the darkness. He wants you to go to Romans 8 and learn about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ that sets you free from the law of sin and death. He wants you to be confident that in the world there's many troubles, but take heart, Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Whew. Thank you, God. I'm done with that page. Ooh, man. Thank you, Jesus. Help me figure out what you're saying now. Here's a way that you can find out if you're disillusioned or if you're disenfranchised or if you're a little bit cool in your faith where God wants you to be white hot. Okay? You can ask yourself this question: where and how do I serve the body of Christ? Where or how do I personally serve the body of Christ? See, because what we've said in the last couple of weeks, if you just go, I just don't seem to find time to pray every morning. I just can't really get interested in the Bible. I've said, you know, that's disinterest. But I want to take it to a different level today. Maybe you go, oh, I read the Bible. Oh, I pray. Me and Jesus, we're great. In fact, every other weekend, me and Jesus go fishing and I skip out on church. We're so good. And I say to you today, if you're not serving God and the body of Christ through your local church, you have not found the fire that God wants in your bosom. Christians serve God by serving one another. You know what? Kid City should never have to do a recruitment campaign because all the adults in the auditorium are lining up faithfully saying, I'll come and serve the kids. I want them to be lit on fire when they're this big rather than wait until they're this big. People need you to be who God called you to be. The world needs you to step into your faith, your destiny, your power in the kingdom of God. The Bible says in the book of Romans that all of creation is longing for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. What does that mean? The world, even the rocks, the trees, the people for sure are waiting for you, child of God, to step fully into your God-given destiny. You go, I don't even know what my God-given destiny is. Well, the first thing you need to do is wake up. God doesn't intend you to live this life on neutral or cruise control. He doesn't want you coasting. He wants you accelerating with him in the activity of his kingdom. I talked to a good friend of mine just this week, and they said, you know, I've always had this burden for intercession and prayer, but I found that so many times I'd be called to pray and I'd be so exhausted and so wiped out. He said, but Pastor, I want you to know, as I've been listening to the series on Haggai, and I've been repenting of my disillusionment and discouragement, I find that when God calls me to intercede and pray for the body of Christ, I get up energized instead of exhausted. You go, well, I'm just burned out. I don't have time to serve. I've said yes to too many things. Well, say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things, and you'll have plenty of energy. That's good. See, not all of you are called to Kid City, but most of you are. Not all of you are called to our Catalyst Youth Ministry, but some of you are. Not all of you are called to lead worship or a life group, but many of you are. See, but so many of us right here in the room and many on live stream today would honestly have to say, I'm not serving anywhere. Do you know if you're not serving anywhere, you are serving someone? Yourself. Does that hurt a little bit? Let it hurt. Because we learned last week, and I don't mean that sarcastically. I'm glad you laugh because humor's good. Lightens the mood a little bit. But we learned last week in the book of James, which mirrors what was written in the last part of chapter 1 in Haggai. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Proud people serve themselves. You go, I'm not boastful and arrogant. No, but you're all about you. You're prideful. I'm so insecure, I don't even know if I'm qualified. You're prideful because you're thinking about yourself. It's hurting today, church. What did I say? When it hurts, it's not to condemn you. It's to get your attention and call you to change. That's all. That's called conviction. The church needs conviction again. Conviction is a powerful belief, but if you're being confronted by God's truth to believe powerfully with him, and you're not in agreement with that, it will hurt a little bit. Some people say you're stepping on my toes. Some people say that just pierced me through the heart. You know, I think all of those illustrations are inadequate. I think God is just getting your attention. God loves you. You're his child. We talked about in the book of Hebrews that he only disciplines those he loves. You know, if you love your children, you discipline them so they can stay on the right path. Now, let's quit reviewing and go into today's text. Chapter 2, verse 1. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet saying, now this was a few days, it's like last month, they finally repented. You remember at the end of chapter 1, they got excited. Said they, God sparked their enthusiasm. And the enthusiasm sparker was obedience. You know, if you got a lighter, it's got fluid, fuel in the little thing, and it's got a place for the fire to come out. But if your little sparker thingy don't work, you won't get any fire. What's the spark to get you enthused? The fire is the enthusiasm. What's the spark? Obedience. So you need to ask yourself today, through this series, through my personal reading, and I'm telling you, if you can't read the book of Haggai, 2 pages in my Bible, less than 10 minutes a day to read, I'm worried about your discipleship. If your church is in the middle of a series in the book of Haggai and you say, well, he's going to read it again Sunday, why should I read it throughout the week? You missed the point. I mean, God's trying to make it easy, a 2-pager. And many of you haven't read it once. Because you go, well, Brad's going to read it. He's going to read the whole thing, word for word. No, I'm going to read it and give commentary. You can't read it like I read it. You need to read it for yourself. And as God has been speaking to, I know I'm not talking to anybody here today. I know all of you have been meditating on God's word in the book of Haggai this week. And as you have been, God's bringing conviction to you. God is calling you to a new place. You cannot honestly read the Bible and stay static. Ever. Ever for a minute in your life. That's why a lot of people take their Bible and toss it to the side because they don't like being challenged. Now, God loves you and he'll challenge you. He's not mean about it. He's not harsh. But a good father says, come on, let's get back on the center of the path because here's where the full blessing for your life lies. So I need you, I'm going to read it in the New Living because it, so this is so funny to me. In the month, it says in the New Living, so in September, I guess they got it right. Now we're in October. So in September, God brought them the first word, said, you're supposed to build the temple. You said no, but now you said yes, and God sparked your enthusiasm. Here we go. Let's build the temple. Y'all with me? Now, verse 1 of chapter 2 in the New Living Translation. Then on October 17th of the same year, like less than a month later, the Lord sent another message to the prophet Haggai. Say this to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of God's people in the land. What does that mean? God told Haggai to say something again. That's all that means. And it's less than a month from the last time. Now, verse 3. Does anyone remember this house, this temple, in its former splendor? Of course, they're all going, yeah, man, yeah. It used to be cool, it used to be awesome, and now it's just, well, just, you know. How in comparison does it look to you now? And they're going, I already told you, it looks pretty bad. It must seem like nothing at all. Yeah, I already told you that, the people say back to the prophet. But now, says the Lord, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all the people still left in the land. And now get to work. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven's armies. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when we came out of Egypt, so do not be afraid. Whew. At the beginning of this whole pandemic thing, one of the first things God said to me was this. This day is no different than any other day that you've ever lived in the kingdom of God. Every day for a Christian, you got to stand on the word. Every day for a Christian, you got to fight off the darkness. Every day for a Christian, you got to stand in faith or you will be overcome. It might be a virus, it might just be a mental illness, it might be a fear, it might be going back to an old lifestyle, the darkness is always out to get you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers in dark places. Today is no different than any other day that you've ever lived as a Christian, no matter what the news report says. Today is no different than any other day. If you don't stand on the word, you'll be swept away in the tide of fear and confusion and disillusionment. But if you stand on the word of God, if you get in your prayer closet and make time for God to speak to you, you're going to rise above the negativity of this world. And you're going to step into your God-given destiny, and we're going to come out on the other side stronger, more bold, and more accomplished in the presence of God. What does that mean? We're going to have advanced the kingdom in the earth rather than shrinking back and go, I'm so afraid to go outside. Please stop that. I know you're not afraid. You're here. I mean it. I would encourage every person in this room, study the statistics of the pandemic for yourself. You will find your own conclusions, and you will find some amazing facts that will help deliver you from fear. I'm overwhelmed and frustrated that what is supposed to be our servant, the news media, just propagates lies. Because you know what news has become? Another media outlet to make money, not to inform the people. And if somebody doesn't have the courage to say it, the people will be lost in the flood of darkness. And I hope that you'll join me. You have Facebook, you have Twitter, you have Snapchat, you have friends. Tell the truth. Study the statistics and see what percentage of the population is really at risk. Because this is directly relevant to what I'm preaching today. The enemy's latest scheme against the church is a health crisis. Now, is it real for less than 1% of the population? Yes, and we care for them. That's why they can see us on live stream and not have to come out and be exposed. But the rest of you are very healthy and need to get out and live your life for Jesus. This is the one thing that God told me about today's sermon. Do y'all ever watch Fixer Upper? You know, they don't do it anymore. They've moved on to something else, but they still run the reruns, and we like to watch that at our house. You know my favorite day on Fixer Upper? Me and Chip love the same day. Demo Day! God told me this message is part of Demo Day. What in your heart needs to be demolished? So that the kingdom of God can be built in your heart. Do you know what happens on demo day? It's dusty. It's messy. I mean, you got to wear a mask to get, can't breathe in. The dust is so bad. I mean, demo day is a big deal. But in the end, you're knocking it down, not just to knock it down. You're getting ready to build something better. God is the ultimate fixer-upper. He's been renovating hearts for over 2,000 years. See, and you know what happens when you do demo? You think, oh, we're just going to knock out these two walls and redesign this place so we can have an open concept. And guess what always happens? You have the opportunity to find deeper underlying issues. There's a plumbing leak here we didn't know, and there's mold all throughout half of this floor. We're going to have to demo more. Nobody loves that, do they? You got to take care of the messes you find before you can move on to build something great. Where in your life is there a mess? What part of your heart is in disarray? Just let God demo it. Quit putting up your hands and say, don't bring the wrecking ball here. Demo's the fun day. Sledgehammers and wrecking balls. Just let him blow it to smithereens. Whatever I've built in my heart that's self-centered, whatever I've done in my life that keeps me from serving the body of Christ, whatever wound or pain or hurt that the church has inflicted on me, let me get healed today. Let God demolish that scar and heal it so he can build up something great for the purpose of Jesus in your life. Every one of you has a powerful destiny in the kingdom of God. Every one of you is called by God to do great things. But fear and anger and abandonment and identity issues and self-centeredness or whatever the distraction may be is keeping you from the power of what God wants to do in your life. Now, we're in verse 6. In the New Living Translation, for this is what the Lord of Heaven's Army says, in just a little while, again, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the oceans and the dry land. I'll shake all the nations, and the treasures of all the nations will be brought into this temple, for I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of Heaven's Armies. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of Heaven's Armies. The future glory of this temple will be greater than the past glory, says the Lord of Heaven's Armies. And in this place I will bring peace. I, the Lord of Heaven's Armies, have spoken. If you can't get excited about gold and silver rolling into your house, and I'm not talking about just naturally, I'm talking about spiritually. What does the Bible say? Build with gold and precious things of heaven, not wood, hay, and stubble that burn up in the fire, but build with the kingdom in mind. See, what are we doing? We're laying up for ourselves eternal rewards. When I serve a child, when I help an elderly person, when I give my life to teach the gospel to someone else, I'm storing up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't get in and destroy. But can you see that we're already living part of this prophetic word in the natural now? I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. Tell me all the nations haven't been shaken by one little microbial virus that's so smaller than a strand of hair in diameter. A little bitty, bitty baby corona COVID-19 has shaken the whole planet. All of the technology of men doesn't give you any comfort. All of the medical expertise hasn't helped you. The only thing that's helped you in this time is that you are trusting in the Almighty God. The only thing that's kept us safe from illness and disease is God Almighty at work in our midst. Let's quit giving credit where credit's not due, and let's give all glory to Jesus where it's due forever and ever and ever. If you have breath in your lungs today, it's not because a doctor gave you the right pill. It's because Jesus put breath in those lungs. If you got a spring in your step today, it's not because the doctor or somebody else gave you the right thing. It's because God Almighty has purpose in your life. I'm tired of the world telling the church how to live. The church needs to stand up and be the beacon of light that we've always been called to be. The gold is mine. The silver is mine. I'm going to shake up the whole earth and reorder the culture so the kingdom can be established right here, right now. Stand to your feet. This is our first day back in Kid City, and I need to let them out on time. God, we thank you today that in your presence there's eternal joy. God, we all struggle with fear. It's not a one of us, myself included, has not wrestled with fear for our lives and fear of sickness and fear of death and many different times and seasons of our life. But today we make this declaration. I am covered by and submitted to the blood of Jesus. There's not anything that can take my life. In Psalm chapter 139, the Bible clearly says, every day of my life was written in the book before I was ever conceived in my mother's womb. So God, we just confess in all the places that fear has overtaken us, all the places that worry about finances and family and relationships and any other thing has overtaken our passion for Jesus, we just confess to you right now, Lord God Almighty. We are weak, but you are strong. We need you to fill us with your Holy Spirit today. We need you to deliver us from fear. We need to step into the peace that comes after the shaking. We need you to establish your kingdom in our own little temple right here in our hearts. Because God, we can see just a glimpse of the reality that you want to utilize us for your purpose on the earth. And God, we're infected with passion for fulfilling your purpose. We want to do your will so greatly, God. We'll give up anything. We'll go anywhere. Touch the coal to our lips, oh God. Purify our hearts and our minds and lead us in the everlasting way. Here am I, Lord. Send me. The world is waiting and longing for the sons and daughters of God to step up into the light of Jesus, free from the cares of this world, and deliver the good news to every person on this planet. The Bible clearly says in the New Testament, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all people, and then the end will come. There's a lot of work left to do. And God needs willing vessels, humble vessels, people who are willing to step into demo day and say, God, just demolish anything in my life that doesn't glorify Jesus. Any thought, any attitude, any mindset, any relationship, God, I just put it all on the altar and say, you just demo whatever you want because I know what you're going to build is going to be beautiful. Come on, can you agree with me today, church? God, demolish the strongholds in our minds. God, demolish the fear that tries to overtake us. Demolish the disillusionment that takes us down and presses us under thumb. Oh, Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, we appeal to you as our Father, as our friend, as our Savior and Master. Forgive us for where we have failed. And forgive us for our beliefs that do not come into agreement with your kingdom purposes. Lord, all we want to do is be used by you. And we know we must embrace the call of God to repentance, or we will not be useful building material. So let us humble ourselves, God, in Jesus' name.
No, my and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will see the goodness.